we're doing to just to approve our statement of claims, our bills for the month. So I will have a roll call, please.
Alio?
Aye.
Here. Duly noted. Eck?
Here.
Hoogland?
Here.
Rogers?
Here.
Tylan?
Here.
Westcott?
Here.
And Skrull?
Here. Seven in attendance. Would anybody like to address the board this meeting today regarding this our statement of claims? Okay. Seeing none. May I have a motion to approve our statement of claims?
So moved.
Thank you. And a second.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Alio?
Aye.
Eck?
Aye.
Hoogland?
Aye.
Rogers?
Aye.
Tylan?
Aye.
Westcott?
Aye.
And Skrull?
Aye. Seven ayes and no nays. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you. And a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much. Okay. This month we have committee of the whole. Next month we will have individual committees, I promise. Mm-hmm. And thank you all for giving me your choices. We have two special guests today. First we have Jeff Stoner from the SYHA. Jeff, would you like to come up and address the board? Thank you for being here.
I had a little bit more time. So. I just want to thank you all for willing to come and talk to you. We've worked with a lot of you and some of the other staff. So, just kind of want to give you a little background about myself. I'm Jeff Stoner, president of the Youth Hockey Association here in Springfield. Sorry, I hope that's not anybody's mind.
No.
I should have brought my phone on. But I want to bring some ideas and some concerns about youth hockey here in Springfield this evening and kind of the direction that we're looking at moving forward. A little bit of background about me, just kind of so you know who I am. Currently a firefighter in Taylorville. Been there about 10 years. Also worked for the county as the emergency management director. And then I've been in the guard for the last 17 years. So I've been kind of doing a lot of different things. I got a lot of things going on, but this is by far probably the most enjoyable thing I've done. So, been here probably, 2 years now-ish? Yeah, as the president of the Youth Hockey Association. And kind of trying to move this trip in a good direction. So I just want to say, like, the necessary staff and your work district members have been more than helpful to us as an organization, and they're a great group to work with. I know there seems to be a lot of turnover on that end, so we always see new faces there, but they're always friendly and always willing to help us. We've been pretty much moving in a direction very quickly in the last 2 years that hasn't been taken in 10 years, maybe. So they've been doing a really good job in kind of, you know, with our fast-paced environment. Really excited to work with George as the new GM. I think that was a good decision, and I, you know, not that it was my decision or anything, you know, but I'm very happy that, you know, I worked with George in the past, and it seems like he's going to do a really good job. So Springfield, hockey here in Springfield has been here since 1961. So a little over 60 years. Was at the original Ice Shack title, and then it came to the Nelson Center. It's been continuing to grow for the most part, and COVID has hit us a little hard, just kind of overall on all small aspects of life. As of right now, we have approximately 100 players in our travel program, about 70 players in your recreational program. Although these teams...
Say that statistic again.
We have about 100 players in our travel program, which is 10U, which is our 10-year-old, sorry,
okay.
Up to 18-year-olds in travel.
Okay.
The rec program, which covers your 6-year-olds to 8-year-olds, and then house, which covers those who wish not to travel, all of us 14.
Okay.
14-year-olds has about 7.
Okay.
Now, obviously, that's not including learn-to-play programs, which kind of fluctuate here and there, but those are kind of the steady numbers we look at. We did find a newsletter, and I can't remember, it was in the 90s, that just the program had over 300 players. So we've obviously kind of took a downward statistical move, and we're looking to build that back up to a good number. So we all know hockey's not really... going up there on the cost. But, you know, the skills you learn in hockey, obviously, balance, agility, you know, all those things, teamwork, compassion, I mean, they help you in all other aspects of all those skills. And not that I'm biased at all here, but there was an interesting video of they did a hockey players doing football drills and football drills, or football players doing hockey drills, and the football players had a little harder time on the field. So it's just, not to, you know, if there isn't work, we'll say that, but, you know, it does help with you know, future, is whether they play hockey the rest of their life or not. With that being said, hockey is one of those sports that does last for a lifetime. We have, in our senior league programs, we have guys that are in their late 80s still skating. So it's a sport that...
It's for profit.
Huh? Is a goalie? Yeah. 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 No, I can. I'm a goalie too, and I can barely get up and down. But I don't know how. Yeah. So it's something that you know, the lifelong and lasting developmental of it. The problem is we've seen over the past few years is that we've been losing players to other organizations. So we're looking at Pekin, Bloomington, Southern Illinois, even St. Louis. These are 50 miles away, potentially up to 90 miles down to St. Louis. Due to the lack of high developmental programs, we don't have what they have. They have paid coaches. They have, you know, Monday night programs with professional developmental coaches and things like that. We as an organization don't have it. Now we're, as I'll get into it, we're moving toward that. But that again, just as an association, and we're looking to see if we can do it for the recreational programs and all hockey players in Springfield. We have a lot of volunteers. Volunteer coaching applications have been on the decline, unfortunately. You know, it's hard to get people to do things for free, which is understandable. You know, time is money and invaluable for people. But, you know, the reason a lot of them are leaving is that the volunteers we're getting, and again, volunteers are volunteers, and I'm not downplaying whoever it is, but a lot of them lack the knowledge and the professional development these players want, and then, you know, they find it somewhere else. So looking at towards the future, currently the Park District runs the Learn to Play program, the ABM program, and the Recreational House League for 10 U to 14 U. The Learn to Play program with help of Marty and George, and it was Tim's gone there, is going through pretty much a revamp of kind of the process, how many skating sessions there are, kind of just how it's organized, and I think it's heading in the right direction. Yeah, that was it. Sorry. I talked and then I missed words. So this program is probably, this and the 60 maybe, probably the most vital program we have in the organization because it sets them up for the future. So if they come to Learn to Play program and they kind of get, and really like that, or we didn't really get much out of that, it kind of takes them and, well, we're going to go do something else. But if they get into those programs and they say, hey, this was amazing. You know, my kids came out better than what they were. We're going to stick with this. And they love it, and they're going to stick with this. And that'll just build the program so well. So we know that money is always an obstacle. I mean, it always is in government, and even for us in associations, it's always there. I know that, you know, we're talking about the roof on the Nelson Center and potentially a multi-million dollar refrigeration system, you know, in the near future. You know, we understand that we're not the only program in you know, your realm of program. We understand that a lot. But I can't really stress it enough that if we don't do something about these programs now, we won't need a refrigeration system because there won't be programs left. And that's kind of where we're at and how we're looking and projecting the future for players in Springfield. So obviously some of you might be aware that SYHA has run into a few hiccups over the past few years that we're diligent in trying to right that ship and get it back on course. Countless volunteer hours from our board and other members I've been spent trying to figure out new ways to bring development and affordability to hockey here in Springfield. The addition that we have brought so far, the addition of live barns at both rinks. So that means that those who are unable to make it to a barn display or even a tournament or for a game can watch it from their phones at home. So it kind of boosts that overall enjoyment of it for those who can't attend. The V4 hockey vending machine is doing very well. That's pretty much, normally you have to go to this Shields or I think the next Underdog Sports to get stuff. Now we have one right there in the ring that can get hockey tape, all the essentials that they necessary. So that's been widely appreciated. With partnerships with the SYHA, we actually just agreed on a proposal last night for Elite Hockey out of St. Louis. Tyler, and he's had some proposals for you guys. Tyler runs Elite Hockey down there. He runs a hockey school as well. They have an actual accredited, I can't remember what he said. A bunch of letters accredited schools they actually graduate there and then but they play hockey. And he's actually graduated some into the AHL and the NHL and things like that for the draft. He knows what he's doing. He's been doing it for, I think, 17 years now, so he knows what he's doing. And then we're also partnering with Luke out of 3D goaltending down in St. Louis. They're starting to come up, hopefully, every other week during the season for any goaltenders, especially, those in the travel programs and the recreational programs, so they can get developed. So with saying that, though, there's a divide. Right, so there's the SYHA and then there's the Park District. So SYHA has their dues and their fees for their members, for the travel organization. And the Park District has their program. So as the SYHA votes to include the Elite Hockey and the goaltending clinic for the travel program, we don't really think it's fair for us as an SYHA and a membership to set the bill for those who aren't in our program. As much as we want to develop them and we want to open it up to everybody, there has to be some ownership from the Park District in helping getting their program up to speed where we're at. So saying that, I mean, the biggest issue is volunteers is what we're having. Learn Play program, Rec League, and 6 and 8 U have been blessed by having parents step up to do their best to help these players. But again, unfortunately, most of these volunteers have very little knowledge of skating ability. I mean, there are a few that have played before and do a really good job. I know our Rec coordinator for 10 to 14 U is gone now. His kids said, I'm going to go play baseball. And so now he's playing baseball. So now at the Park District level for recreation, we have nobody to run that program for next season. So the thing is that why people are leaving. To give an example, and I know it's probably a horrible example, but it's the only one I can kind of think of, is if you want to invest your money into stocks or IRAs, would you go to a business where the accountant said he watched a YouTube video and said, yeah, I think I know what I'm doing because I watched this video, or do you want to go to someone accredited, someone who knows, someone who went to school? And that's where we're really at. People want that development. People want, those who know what they're doing to move forward.
At what age do you need that more trained person to be developing new skills?
So
how early do you want to need people like that?
I would say Learn to Play is probably where it's at. I think Learn to Play needs more of a structured curriculum, and those at least someone who's knowledgeable. Now you get into Elite Hockey program, you're probably looking at the 6 to 8 U age group, and that's where you really want to start development.
Six to eight.
That's not so, okay. Yeah. I just want to be so I understand completely what you're saying. You need a good feeder program in order to promote the programs that you're running right now and bringing people up for. So in order to improve our feeder program, are you saying when your people come up, then you want them also to do the Learn to Skate, or what is your ask, and have you talked to staff about these elements you know, to
sure.
make the programs better, improve the program.
Sure. Yeah, and there's been proposals, there's been multiple talks between ourselves and Tyler, George, and
okay.
Amy about this. I mean, there's been proposals back and forth where, you know, there was he offered a $20,000 a year deal, but he was going to bring a full hockey school to the park district, a training, full training facility staff with a weight trainer and medical staff, and then he was actually going to run the Learn to Play stadium and your recreational program. Obviously, the spacing was the issue, which is understandable. You know, the Franklin Room is where he kind of had his weight facility planned for, and we get to set, you know, rent it out for certain things and things. But it was kind of a dead stop there, and then kind of the building stuff was out of off, so we kind of went back to a proposal for just the Learn to Play, to run Learn to Play, ADM, and house. That's really our focus, and like I said, like, as much as I'm here on behalf of the SYA chain, I'm really, this is more towards your program.
Mm-hmm.
Because without those programs, we won't have a program.
So what, do you have a bottom line suggestion of what you would like to see happen that we can talk about implementing?
Sure. Yeah, I'd like to see Tyler from Elite Hockey come up here and run these programs.
Okay.
I'd like to see him at least run those three. He's going to be up here for us, but I think if you have him up here, it's going to draw these people back in, because even if they don't want to travel, even if they say, hey, we just want to do the recreational program, we want to do the two nights a week, and that's all we want to do, they're still going to get the best development that everybody else gets.
So why don't we do this? I think that this is really instructive for me personally,
sure.
to learn about this. But why don't we have staff prepare something for the board that outlines the costs and what we would give up in the Franklin Room and, right, I mean, do the cost-benefit analysis for us.
Or if there's other space at the Nelson Center.
I think what you're suggesting, you've moved off the school concept where you would take over the Nelson Center and to just have Tyler with it, either himself or his instructors, come and teach the classes. Right?
Yeah,
that's, I think, what the ask is.
Okay, so it's not the whole school with the weights,
I mean,
and everything
else. Planning on, if he's up here for these three programs for the park district,
yeah.
He's going to put a school here. Now, whether or not it's at the Nelson Center, or whether or not his weight training facility is at the Nelson Center, that's going to be later.
Not a bad idea to have a weight training facility at the Nelson Center.
I mean, we have a building that we're looking at, that he's looking at, but I mean, his original proposal was to have it all contained at the Nelson Center.
So why don't you guys, if that's your ask,
sure.
Why don't you and Derek and Angie and Tyler have a meeting about what does that look like? What does it cost? Come with a firm proposal. We'll have to run numbers as to, you know, what does it cost versus, you know, what we're going to bring in revenues and offsets and whatever. But, I mean, they'll have to do that. But
right. But
why don't you guys set up that meeting? I think that, listen, this is not an unreasonable thing to ask. It really isn't. I mean, and I'm with you. I mean, hockey has been sort of the backbone, hockey and figure skating. They don't always, not always an easy marriage, but they both, those two things are the backbone of our two sheets of ice. So I do think that we have two sheets of ice and, you know, we want you to succeed. So if you think, I mean, you're the expert. You're there all the time. If you think this is what you need to build your I'll get you in a minute, Chris. If this is what you need to build your program and succeed, we should definitely be sitting down and trying to work out the nuts and bolts, Chris?
Kind of going to bounce around a lot on different things that you talked about.
Sure.
I'm ADHD, so I write the exam, otherwise I'll forget every time. I was a hockey dad. My 12-year-old son went through from the largest case starting at about 5 to 7, and my daughter, until she broke her leg the second time, and neither was hockey related. So I do kind of have an understanding of how some of the learning scape works and how it goes and whatnot. So I've got one of the questions I have, and I know my kids were part of the backside of the curve at the beginning. Is part of the problem with the skating classes that the instructors are having to spend too much time on the lowest common denominator, the person with the least experience, and then the oldest the kids with it, that already experienced are feeling like they're not getting anything out of it?
Yeah.
That would be my first question.
Sure. And that's what we with the revamp, we can kind of take Learn to Play 1 and Learn to Play 2 and kind of split them. So now, to get into the Learn to Play program, you have to be able to skate, you have to be able to stop. You have to do the basics before you actually get into that.
Yeah, and like I said, I know both of my kids coming in were on the back end needing more training, and then toward the end, they were actually going to move up into the more advanced squad that was doing the thing. So I get it. But if that's the biggest thing, then the one, like you just said, we may need to have a bigger separation of the classes because of talent level.
Sure.
The next thing which I was going to bring up, and this one's kind of a two-parter, when you're looking for something to excite the kids or get the kids a little more motivated about learning things or learning new tricks, is it possible to bring in some of the junior blues players? And then on another side of things, District 186 has hockey teams, and so does FHG, which I assume you're a feeder program for. Is it possible to talk to those schools about those hockey players coming in for service hours and helping? Because they've got to get so many service hours for graduation anyway, especially FHG. And especially with those FHG kids, you could talk to Brett Charles. I was just thinking that would be a way to get the kids a little more excited. I know when I was younger, that if the high school kids came in when we were doing baseball or basketball, it was like, oh, they're here. You know, and you're just in, the younger kids are just in a little bit of awe of the kids that are playing in high school because this is what they want to do.
Right.
So I didn't know if that was an option that might help you out a little bit playing the service hours angle. You might be able to get some volunteers in there to help out, or maybe you can break into smaller groups. Sort of that talent level thing can happen.
Sure. We to touch on that, we had partnered last year with Junior Blues, and they did come, they actually came to our travel and direct program to kind of, you know, expect the kids to learn it. But the problem with them coming out is with their schedule, and they're kind of really hit and miss on when they can. So that set of them running it or them doing it, I've already pitched it to Dan. If they could run the Learn to Play program as like a little news program, they said they just don't have the time.
And that's the reason why I was thinking maybe the service hours aspect of the high school teams would work out better for getting volunteers in or like that. Now, Marty, sitting back, says he knows that when I was the hockey dad, one of my biggest complaints was having to drive all the way to Decatur to play against sports. Because Underdog here will not buy hockey equipment. They don't carry enough. They don't have enough. I don't know if that's a conversation you can have with them. I have 7 bags of hockey gear in my garage. Is your child?
No.
We have a rental program.
Yeah.
So we have a rental program through the FIJ. Like, we take donations. We don't sell it, but we will rent the equipment to people who want to try hockey for $125. Then when they return it, we get $100 back.
Right. And then, but like the guy that runs the skate shop across the street,
Johnson.
Marty's heard this plenty of times for me, probably going back 5 years ago. The guy's never open.
Right.
He writes his own schedule. The thing on the door means nothing. It's, I feel like being here today.
Yeah.
If you could get him to be a little bit more, this is what I'm going to do, or if he could have something on Facebook saying, these are the days I'm going to be open, that would be really helpful to both figure skaters and hockey. I can't tell you how many times we were planning to go in there to get skates sharpened or something else, and he's not there, and he's supposed to be open.
I'd like to touch on that just a little bit, is that about 3 years ago, when I was looking at taking over, I actually called him to purchase Johnson, and because he's never there.
Right.
So in 3 years, I don't think he's actually been in that shop. It's never been open for... at all.
The COVID.
Yeah. So he said that he didn't want to sell it, the building, because he didn't want another hockey shop competing with him. It's
not competing if you're not open.
I know.
Well, he has a shop in Louisville.
Yeah, he's got three other shops.
But you get what I'm saying. This is part of our frustration as parents, even when we were trying to do the program, was lack of anything in town unless you wanted to pay brand new at Shield. Yeah. And trust me, Marty dug stuff up. My son is 5'11 at 12.
Yeah.
The junior blue stuff came in, or the junior Blackhawks, it didn't fit in.
Right.
So Marty really helped us find things that fit Josh when we were trying to do hockey. But part of the frustration as a parent is you need to have the support outside of not just your group, but you have to have the retail support where people can get the items to be able to play the game.
Right now, though, can we address that?
Well, this is just feedback to him going with what we're trying to do. So it's an all-encompassing picture. And the other thing, when you're talking about trying to set things up where you're going to have people who are park only and people that are SHYA that are paying for similar programs, maybe what we need to do is work with whoever's collecting the money at the point of sale. You might need to issue cards to your members that give them a membership discount when they sign up to pay so that we can have a different pay scale.
That's going to be probably more challenging.
For people who are park only versus people that are SHYA that you're subsidizing. Mm.
I think there's a lot of detail.
I think we have other people who need to address us. I so appreciate it. And I do think that the conversation with you guys should start immediately, and let's work this out so that in the fall when you're ready to go, we're ready to go with you.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
And I so appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah,
well,
I thank you for
letting
me talk.
We want you to
succeed. We do. Jeff.
Well, we want you to
program. Yes, that too. Thank you so much. Okay. Jamie, you're up.
All right. How are you guys today?
Good. How are you?
Good. I got one for everybody. My presentation skills are always my strong suit. The information in them, not so much.
Thank you.
All right. First, I'd like to update you guys. Our pitcher, Matt Cruz, who unfortunately got hit with a line drive during the second.
Yeah, how is he?
He's good. He got released from Memorial Health Monday, and he's back home resting. And need to give a shout-out to Chief Murphy's staff. Jason Morrison in particular was instrumental in how quick he got to the field, EMTs, ambulance service, Tim Rose. Great night and good positive news report. So
good.
He canceled the game immediately, you can imagine. Kids not ready to get out there. So had a few disgruntled fans, but we told them that our priority was the health of the players. So,
you're not going to get any argument from, I think, from this group.
Well, I appreciate you guys letting us come see you. So I think most of you probably saw email exchange, and I'll tell you this. I'm super passionate about what we're here to do. We have a saying, baseball is our platform, but not our purpose. What that means is we use baseball to bring our communities together. And I know you guys have heard about the team because we've been everywhere. I mean, in fact, many places I thought we were running for office, which I certainly don't want to do. But I put together a table of contents. The first thing is sort of our discussion points, which I'm just going to start reading, and then you'll see the other things that I included in here. Happy to take any questions during the process. I'll try to be as quick as I can. So the priority for us is the Springfield community. You know, I've heard for a year and a half that baseball is not sustainable here, which I think is nonsense. You know, we had, for the Legends game, over 2,000 people. The attendance has picked up dramatically year over year. Unlike our predecessor, we don't give away tickets. We've created a value worthy of folks paying and having a good time. So very excited about the momentum. I think right at 400 season ticket holders, which is exceptional for year two. A little bit ahead of where our trend is. So, for those of you who don't know, Chris Rasmussen, Tim Hoker, Glenn Gudick, James Vanterpool, Jason Theodorakis, Mike Manley, my wife, by far the prettiest member of the ownership group, and myself represent Golden Rule Entertainment, DBA Capital City Baseball, DBA Springfield Lucky Horseshoe. So our ownership group is come together to invest in Springfield and invest in the revitalization of Robin Roberts Stadium. We took over in October of 2021. And we've had some good successes thus far, in no certain order. We've donated over $35,000 to local nonprofits. That's in the form of volunteer groups with concession stands, American Cancer Society groups, fundraising, all sorts of ways. So we're happy that we use the team to benefit the community and certainly these nonprofits. So merchandise in all 50 states, which is pretty cool. The shoes. Making a horseshoe logo was a little bit of a challenge, but Ryan Foose does an excellent job. We continue to sell merchandise all over the country, which is something that we're very prideful of. Created the annual Legends Game. So that's probably one of our marquee events. We're working right now with Ryan McGrady with the Growth Alliance to talk about the economic impact of what that means. I think we sold tickets in 13 states for that event this year. So a lot of passion behind Cubs Cardinals for trying to monetize that, bring people to Springfield, hopefully stay in some hotel rooms. So invested over $600,000 in Robin Roberts Stadium. We'll get to that in a moment, but we certainly walk the walk. You know, we don't come and say, hey, you do this, we'll do this. We have invested these guys' money into the ballpark. Regaining the trust and the creating partnerships with the community, it's a big one for me. You probably know this, but if you didn't, baseball was not in a good position with the Springfield Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
It was embarrassing. We had to beg to get into meetings, to make sure we honor commitments. LRF finally met with us. They're doing a big group. Grant's doing a big group. A lot of what I call the players, the staple businesses, have re-engaged because they see our commitment to the greater community. That's been a real challenge. I did not realize how challenging, but we're moving in a good direction. And then most recently, we got nominated for Emerging Business of the Year. I think probably because they knew we'd buy a table. But nonetheless, we are in consideration for the Emerging Business of the Year. So the greater Springfield community loves to shoot. Every day I see them. Every day I stand at the gate when people leave, and they say, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for believing in Springfield. Thank you for all the things that you guys are doing with the team. And we love them back. And the good news is we're just getting started. We have a long-term plan to be here, be viable, be sustainable. So this little footnote is an interesting one. Reservoir Park, the original name for Robin Roberts, opened May 12, 1925. God, I wonder how many businesses were around in 1925. They saw 12,000 fans as the Springfield Senators host the Terre Haute Tops. Interesting name. The centennial for Robin Roberts is coming up May 12, 2025. 100 years of baseball in that property. From Reservoir Park to Lampier Park, now Robin Roberts Stadium. So our goal is to get the stadium back in immaculate condition for the next season of baseball there, which is 2025. A good friend of mine once said, just because we own these teams doesn't mean they belong to us. What that means is the team is the community's team. I think if you guys follow any NFL or the Washington Commanders who are forced to sell, if you start doing things that aren't good for the community, they will quickly tell you, we don't want you anymore. And unfortunately, I think that's happened to some ownership groups of the baseball team in the past. They haven't responded to the, you should support us because we're here. That's not how it works. They support you when you show up and let them know, hey, here's something that's worthy of supporting. The people in the community, and well, similarly, the park district is the community park district. People in our community tell us what they want from the team, and we try to work hard to provide that entertainment experience worthy of their hard-earned money as they spend money on tickets, concessions, and merchandise. We believe in the greater Springfield community, certainly the North End. So I'm a honorary Duke. I just want to let that be known. I wear that flag with pride because I know what it means. I know what the people in the North End, how much pride they have in this ballpark. And I believe that we're bringing it back, and I see in their faces, this is cool. We need this on the North End. We need Robin Roberts to be a vibrant sports and entertainment facility. The future of the North End is bright, as you guys know. Lander High School project hopefully is coming to an end one of these days. We'll see. It keeps selling the states, but it keeps getting pushed back. The rail project is coming in the next 2 years. And as you guys know, Bill Berry's game is consumed with that project. So it looks like in the next few years, the North End will be a lot different than maybe it is today. The missing piece, obviously, is a plan to revitalize historic Robin Roberts Stadium. Bullet point number two just talked about the money that the team put in last year. Scoreboard proper paying $120,000. Happy to provide that detailed information. New marquee out front. We paid for the paint and then paid for district staff overtime to do the painting. New stadium facade. We also paid for the district logo to go on the facade. New stadium club, new carpet in the office area, new halo on the field, new locker room carpet for both locker rooms. District also participated in some of these projects for carpeting and a few other things, I think is outlined in Derek's overview later in the back of this. My point is, we knew that we needed to make an investment. Every year, we will continue to make an investment. It's sort of like a carnival, right? What's the new ride? And that's our obligation, to create that newness. Knobville Beer Garden right now is just exceptional. Moving into to year two, the people that would ask us at the end of last year, are you guys going to be back? Are you going to come back? I say, yeah, of course we're coming back. What do you mean? We didn't realize how bad the reputation for baseball was. They didn't know if the team was going to be here or not. They had no idea. Are you sure you're going to be back next year? So we knew as an ownership group, they came to town. Actually, we met with Derek and the staff with ownership group in October. We knew we wanted to do something impactful, sort of set the tone for where we want this place to go and be. So the new video board was the project, and Chris Rasmussen, have to give him some credit all the way in Houston, Texas, is responsible for that. He stepped up and said, I want to do this. I think this would make the statement that we're serious about entertaining our fans. So we got the new video board. The Knobhill Beer Garden, I'm super excited about that. Changed the landscape of that Wrightsville area. You know, this is sort of where some of our challenges come into play. So we come to the staff to say, hey, we want to put in this park district, or we want to put in this new beer garden, and we need these trees removed. So we offered to replace the trees, but unfortunately, we were asked to buy trees that are going to go somewhere outside of Robin Roberts Stadium, which is a complete disconnect for me. Our sole laser-like focus is Robin Roberts Stadium. So the new locker room, player lounge, and then to date, we've invested $605,000 into Robin Roberts Stadium in the last 18 months. So there's an information pack in here from Garrett, from the Park District staff. Some follow-up questions that we had. I'll let you guys read that on your own time. You don't want me to be up here for 2 hours. But the detail of the 750, I understand that there's 750,000 that have been invested from the Park District in the past 2 fiscal years. Just looking for the detail, what does that go into? How can we help offset that? We've talked to Marty and staff about utility bills. Can we cut a deal with utilities? If we know where the money is going, maybe we can leverage that for the team in some way. We're willing to be partners. I think we've shown that. How much money does the district receive from the transfer agreement that happened in 2002 to take the ballpark from the city? What I mean by that is, like, is it worth it? Does it make sense for the district to continue to have the ballpark under the district's domain? We're open to all this. We're not here to point fingers or talk about this and this. We want a long-term solution for viability for Robin Roberts Stadium. So what has the Park District done to help with the parking? That is, on a daily basis, I can't tell you how challenging that is for people coming to the ballpark. It'd be the equivalent of me blocking off these nice local spots here and saying, you guys park out by the street and walk up to your meeting here. Probably wouldn't enjoy that. I don't think I would. So parking, we know Lanphier is going to be back soon. Unfortunately, you're probably only looking at less than 100 spots or so. Maybe I'm wrong with that, Mark. You may know, but it's going to be a lot less spots over there than there was. We need that tennis court area behind the left field wall, which we talk about that here in a little bit. The challenges of the concession stands. When we have a couple thousand people in the ballpark, we just can't handle what that load is on the two stands that we currently have functional, one of which has termites, and we're working on that with staff right now. The handicap accessible. I know this is one for my wife, but she seems to get this question on a nightly basis. We're very limited with handicap seating. I think we probably have, 18 spaces. I believe it's up to code per whatever the code is, but from a functional and practical standpoint, we really need to work on that. get creative with how we answer that that challenge. Backstop.net is still not ordered. I think we're getting closer, and that's important because during one of the games, had a ball fly right through there and hit a chair, which was unfortunate. Glad no one's sitting in that seat. And then our last question is, we really would like to see grants, a supply for grants. If we work together, if we do the legwork, we need help for writing, we just believe we should be applying for grants at any opportunity available. We did apply for one grant through the Route 66 byway, and we had a $1,000 grant, which is not much, but it's more than we had before we applied for that grant. So those are my responses to the packet then in the back. Major challenges, parking, ADA seating, stadiums, the speakers, we just lost two of those. They're buzzing during the game, very disruptive. Anybody been to a game this year? Been to a game? Mm-hmm. Did you hear the buzzing?
Yeah. That's our problem.
Yeah. So we turned one off, and we're trying to get a solution to that. And one time we had to play the music in the background, which is obnoxious, so we're trying to figure out how to get that fixed. That's a relatively new issue, I will tell you that. The insufficient concession stand, asbestos walls in the stadium, you know, really challenging situation. Anytime something breaks, the staff has to do a lot of work to fix it. They are responsive, but you got to get all that out of there sooner rather than later. Field lighting, incandescent will probably non-existent in the next 24 months, meaning LED is the wave of the future. There's a certain city councilman here that we'd like to help us with that way in the back, but we'll ask him about that later. LED lighting, working with City Power and Light on that. Again, we'd probably be able to try to figure out, can we leverage that? Can we offset savings to pay for the equipment? Yes, the Springfield Park District parking lot side, once Lanker does get finished, there's lots of potholes and challenges on this side. You're going to see what happens when they finish their project and it's all beautiful. Then we're sitting there, we're like, hey, what are we going to do next? So I just put that on your guys' radar. Operational challenges for staff. You know, the stadium's really not clean. They pick up the trash. And I'm really proud of guys like Marty and Tim Rhodes. Tim Rhodes was an excellent hire in the district. He cares. He puts his heart into it. Marty, same. They really care. There are some challenges they have with staff, as you guys know, with your guys' working agreement. It's hit or miss. You know, some days the trash gets picked up. Some days it doesn't. Some days the stadium's cleaner. Some days it's not. One time there was a flushing spill there for 9 days, so I just went and cleaned it up myself. But they frown upon it. They don't want you to clean it up because you're not part of the staff. So those are some real day-to-day challenges. There's really not a maintenance or preventative maintenance plan, in my opinion. I could be wrong when we drill down on the investment that you all make annually. Most ballparks that I've been at in the last 25 years, we normally have 5 to 10% that we put back on maintenance, right? Duct cleaning, plumbing, a lot of the things happen in the ballpark that the district has to spend money or after something breaks and needs to be fixed like ASAP. The example of that is, I believe, the two major projects the district, and we're very thankful for, adding hot water back to the home clubhouse for 2022, which happened right after the season. That should have been in place for, you know, the locker room. I don't know how it, you know, hot water was not there for a period of time. Secondly, the field, which was an excellent investment and repair. The playing surface is far superior. Fortunately, it got to the point where, from the Dura Ridge guy, is one of the worst fields that they've seen. So, again, the resources going into the facility from a maintenance standpoint, I think that's the challenge. The park district, I think, have rekeyed 3 times since we've been here. There are some challenges. I know there's been some staff turnover. Hopefully, we're on the right page and sort of getting some consistency there. So the limited resources that we do have are productive, and we're not replicating expenses over and over. I firmly believe, and I talked to Chief Murphy till probably his ears are red, that the Springfield Park District should have a police officer at Robin Roberts any time the gates are open. We live in a world that's necessary. We, nor the Park District, don't want any issues to happen. But some of these high school games here, they'll have 300-400 people at the games, and there's no security. The coaching staff has a key. They let themselves in. The front gate's wide open. So I'll let you guys figure out what happens there if the worst situation comes about. We need to have Springfield Park District police officer present. They do an excellent job. The two in particular, Mark and Butch, are just part of our family. and we love them, and they keep us safe. We don't need to give away the facility anymore. I just saw today, baseball league playing at Robin Roberts, and the shoes are not there, and it's going to be great. It's not going to be great because there's going to be no police officer there, and they're paying to play in the league, but I don't think those resources will make it towards any of the challenges that we have. I pointed that out to staff. We'd be happy to be the bad guys and get a rate card to use the facility. We're investing in it. To me, it's worthy of asking folks to pay to subsidize, making sure it's safe and it's clean, and we're taking care of the investments that we're making. The left side of the stadium is completely open. This is a challenge with O'Shea building over at Lanphier. You can go right now, any of us, and walk right into Robin Roberts all night long. The whole left side is open. There's snow fence. You can just hop right over or right through. Actually, there's a gap in the fence, which is a concern. And then things like the high school games getting canceled because we don't roll the tarp on the field. There's not enough staff. The district doesn't have staff there. It rains. You can't put the tarp on. We don't have to play the game. Those are the type of challenges to me that I see. Maybe we could serve a better role in operating, becoming the facility manager. Next steps, the scoreboard. I mean, the parking is an immediate need. You're going to tell me no. I'm going to keep asking because I owe that to the people that buy tickets to come to the ballpark. Really need to find a solution for parking at the ballpark. Lanphier High School is going to be in the same situation when they open up that beautiful place to come and play football. They need parking too. So maybe a solution is that conversation with 186 to say how do we work together on this project. We need the speaker situation resolved. As you know, that buzzing is not super fun to hear during the game. We need the daily operation to sort of be at a new level, more professional. I do think we're working on that. I think with Marty and Tim and some of the staffing, we're working on that, but it really needs to be a consistent, professional level. We submitted the questions for follow-up on the presentation that the district staff provided us on 6-1. Master plans. This is sort of one of those things that's important to me. Figuring out where that we want to take Robin Roberts and then investing in a master plan that shows us how do we get more events in here. It should be a community institution, not a baseball park. Any soccer practice, lacrosse, any and everything we can schedule in that facility. And when you don't have a lot of resources, you better have a lot of programming to help offset the lack of resources. So we're very thankful that the district has committed to participate in that. We're vetting local architects right now. We want everything we do to be local. I think that's important. I think it means more when folks in Springfield are part of this project. So hopefully more to come on that. We would love for each of you to come and visit the ballpark so you can tour it and see with your own eyes, hey, here's what we're dealing with, here's the challenges, here's what's going on with this area, whatever it may be. I'm happy to make myself available to tour with each and every one of you. I know there's some restrictions on quorums and some of that stuff, but however we can make that work. We have initiated Friends of Robin Roberts Stadium. I know that's a suggestion from this group along with several others. We've been talking about that for 18 months. I have to give a little credit to Sean Dickerson, although it pains me to give him any credit because he's a Cubs fan. But we're working on that. We just got the branding. The concept behind Friends of Robin Roberts Stadium is to galvanize folks in the community that it means something to them. For example, the Canelo brothers, the Mason brothers, the Detmers family. This is a really rich baseball history, and I would venture to say most every player coming from this region has a story about playing at Robin Roberts. We have that goal and look forward to some discussions with you guys on that. And then we're open to having an open conversation relative to do we need to go approach the city of Springfield? Do we need to engage 186? Do we need to look at becoming the facility manager, which is what we've talked about with staff? However, we definitely need to work on getting the stadium in good repair. So I'd be happy to take any specific questions. I thought it was important that we sort of give you guys a face-to-face update. Any questions or comments or thoughts that I can help you with?
I know. I'll try to limit myself to just the first 20 things.
You can have 25. I got all my numbers.
In all seriousness, Jamie, I've been involved with Robin Roberts as either a fan or a player since 1979. I remember the AAA Cardinals. I remember the Single-A Cardinals. The Dolphins. I tried out for the Capitals back when I had a 34-inch waist. A lot of the things that you mentioned in here, they were issues even going back then. First base concessions, if they had it open, it was a cooler. There was never a concession stand on the first base side. Most of the concessions during the times that I went when I was a fan were people walking around with trays of cans of things and ice or selling things, hawking them as they walked around like the true ballpark experience. The concession stands themselves really weren't that big of a deal. Most people didn't want to go down into the concession line because you missed part of the game. Because it's a historical site and because of the situation with the stadium itself, ADA compliance is going to be very difficult to do anything with unless we completely dismantled and rebuilt part of the stadium.
I think we should do that.
And
or maybe you could come with me when we explain it to a young lady in her wheelchair, and she can't sit next to her husband.
And
I'm happy to have you side by side.
And I understand what you're saying. I did 12 years of city council. Larry's just starting to understand how many times I've heard people want to have their wish lists and things, but you know they're not going to put an elevator to take people up to see where Anne Frank was because there's no room to put it in that historical building. With this historical stadium, it's going to be difficult to make some of these repairs or additions unless we look down at the other end, like where we have the ramps and where we already have some things. Maybe that could be a thought process for adding some additional seating down that way for some of these ADA compliant things, kind of like how the ADA compliant seats for the movie theaters are in the very back row. It's not a great solution, but there's some things that are going to be operational difficulties to do anything about because of how old the thing is. Utilities, we probably already have the best deal that we're going to get. I remember back when I was on the city council, there was an agreement between the Davlin administration and the park district back under Mike Stratton to give you guys the best rate that we could possibly give you with both electric and water.
I'm all for him trying, though.
I think, with all due respect, the ballpark has been with this board for 20 years. I don't know why we're referencing the city of Springfield at this point, right? And regarding the oldness and the concessions, it matters because we're going to draw more fans than the Springfield Tigers. We're going to draw more fans than the Springfield Capitals. We are going to draw more fans than any team you've seen play there. If you don't see that coming...
Oh, and I'm not attacking. I'm just laying out. And
well, I'm passionate about it because I deal with the people. And I know you've been on city council, and I know you sit here. But the rubber meets the road when I tell a young lady in the wheelchair she can't sit next to her husband. It's embarrassing. I will fund it myself. I will not take the answer that you provide this night. Sorry, it's a historic thing. We can't do that. That's not the business we're in. That's not what we're about.
Well, some of the other things, I remember as a fan, it was very rare that we ever parked in the stadium parking lot. We usually parked down by EPA or down at Pillsbury and walked the two blocks. And I know that that's a Springfield thing, and some people, they'll walk all the way into the State Fair and walk 5 miles to save $2 on parking, but you ask them if they're going to meet you at a downtown restaurant, if they can't find parking on the same block, they won't go. I get it. It's been a frustrating thing for me for 15 years as an elected official. But EPA used to be the best spot for parking, and then people would just walk down. And I don't know if it's the state that's preventing you from using that now, because I want to say...
No, they use that lot.
Okay. Because that's where we always parked when I was a fan of the Springfield Cardinals. When my aunt had season tickets down on the third baseline, we went practically every game, my brother and I. We'd always park at EPA. And then, you know, I know that it's a difficult thing with the parking, and I even said something to Derek today that if District 186 can't be a little more accommodating with us when we have a lessee that's trying to use the parking lot, then maybe we need to resurface our side during football season.
Maybe. But the solution there, in my opinion, is the unused tennis court. And I believe that conversation. Here's my challenge with that, right? Is we presented all the challenges on February 23rd, we're now on getting close to July, right? So the parking is not a new issue. We've all known this is coming. If we start today to work with 186 on those tennis courts, which I think you think could be a viable solution in the city, then maybe we have something for 2024. I think the EPA is going to see some significant changes with the...
I'll keep it to four more points.
No.
With the train.
Okay.
So
The access in left field where those shade builders, that I didn't know anything about that. I'm not sure how much staff knew. To me, that's unacceptable, and District 186 should take care of it. They're the ones who created the opening. They should be providing something to prevent access, and that is a definite District 186 issue, in my opinion. Next, the question of why Sprinkle Park District sometimes gives away the use of facility for free, because we're a public park district. As for why SPD doesn't always have a SPD police officer at events involving high school baseball games in Robin Roberts Stadium, our police officers, if you check with Officer Murphy, and I'm not being facetious here, this is, we have so many police officers, and you would not believe how many calls for service where our guys have to go back up Springfield City Police, Leland Grove, Southern View, everybody else. They are not security guards. They are police officers. They get called out on all kinds of things, whether we want them to or not. We may want them in Washington Park watching over something that's happening there, and they have to go back at Springfield PD. It's not something that's completely under our control. But I do believe that District 186, if they're having a baseball game, I think you have a valid point that they should have somebody there. And that's a District 186 issue as a tenant than it is a Springfield Park District issue to provide a park officer. And, you know, like I said, I applaud everything you're doing. Don't think of me as an enemy. I'm just trying to lay out some things that are difficulties and are going to be hurdles that need to be jumped and are not going to be easy. We have a broad range of people that are asking for our services, our facilities, our things, our attention, let alone the money and the fact that we're limited by property tax, and I can guarantee you there's no way we're going to be able to increase that. Our income is limited to either what we bring in through rentals or other things, which is not a very significant amount, or the amount that we're bringing in from property tax. Mm-hmm. And as you heard, we got the youth hockey league, we've got pickleball that's growing and getting louder and louder, we've got other things that are all over the board. You're not being ignored. You're just one of many.
Yeah.
And well, I get what you're saying.
I think you're underestimating one of many. I think you're drastically underestimating. And I'll say one more thing. We get excuses or results. And I'm hearing a lot of excuses. I mean, you tell us what we need to do to help, and we'll help. But it can't be a one-man band, and it can't be one-sided.
Okay. I agree with you. I don't think it has been. And that's fair. I mean, we've done a lot of work in this spring, and we did a lot of work last year, and we did a lot of work off season. We're committed to the facility, and I want to emphasize that. And we are committed, as we are with youth hockey, we are committed to your success. And we also want to be a really good partner. And I understand, I get it from a business perspective. The parking issue is huge, and the speakers, we need to take care of that. My first time I'm hearing that. Some of these things, and we had a good meeting last week, and I think some of these things we can take care of, and we just need to plan for them, right? You talked about a master plan. You're working on that. We're going to contribute to that. I think that's a good investment for both organizations. I really do. I think we just need to figure out where that baseball term, where that sweet spot is, right? So what, you know, I'm thrilled that you're starting a foundation and that you want to apply for grants through that foundation. We'll partner with you, right? I mean, tell us what we need to do to step to the table for that. I think what we really just need to do is keep working on the list, right?
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I appreciate how invested you are personally with your family. I appreciate that you're passionate because change doesn't happen without passionate people. And so I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you bring your own personal passion as well as the passion of a significant organization behind you, right, to make this succeed. And I told you that. I'm for you succeeding. I am for the stadium succeeding. So let's just keep knocking things off the list. I will tell you that I am personally committed to doing everything that the district can possibly do to make sure that happens. And if there are changes we can make, if there are ways we can step up, we've already done some, we'll do more. I understand what Chris said, and I appreciate that, as you heard earlier, right? We had a meeting also with the pickleball people last week, or it was the week. But it's okay, right? We want things to be great, right? I mean, we do. And I want the same excellence that you want. I want the stadium to be everything you want it to be. I really do. And in that way, we preserve that 1925 historic building for the next 100 years. Because if it's successful, the building will be successful, the North End will be successful, and you'll be successful. And to me, that's a win. That's a huge win. So let's keep talking. Let's keep knocking things off the list. As I said at the last meeting, it's about communication. If there's something that is broken that needs to be fixed, tell us. If there's something that's not up to par, tell us. Everything that we can do, we really will. Because, I want this to be a grand slam, not just a home run. And that's about as much baseball as I can fit into one speech.
How receptive are they to what we're doing? And are they people we could approach for donations to help?
Well, if I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to say there's a disappointment with the Park District with their approach for the past 20 years. We have very candid conversations. So, yes, we can look to approach them. The concern is we're going to, and we've expressed this to Derek very directly, we're going to get the private sector, this group, to invest in this ballpark, and we're going to let you continue to maintain and run it. That's a disconnect. I think us taking over, we've offered that as a solution. I think that could be a really good win for the district.
I think the ball is in your court.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. I'm just trying to answer the question. So there is some concern relative to the status quo. If we invest, as if, for example, naming rights was an issue that we talked about a year ago, we pulled back, we said, let's get a master plan, then we'll look at a naming rights partner as respectfully as we can to Robin Roberts' family, who we've talked to. That could be a bucket of revenue into the ballpark as well. So we're looking at all those and having really good conversations with the grants, LRS's, Trox was a great partner. They had a huge camp at the ballpark 2 weeks ago. So
I think that's all very important.
Wouldn't it be something like the Progressive Field at Robin Roberts Stadium kind of idea?
Yeah.
Well, probably not, because in talking for something, the road out front is going to be amazing. We talked about a statue situation where his son, he's got a lot of accolades at Phillies Park, and there's great honor here, don't get me wrong, but I think there's ways to celebrate the Satchel Pages, and there's probably some Negro League money that you could get in for that, and Robin Roberts. You could celebrate Mike Schmidt, a lot of players who came through here.
Well, we really appreciate it. I really appreciate it. Thank you always for your time.
Real soon, okay?
Okay.
You.
Take care. All right. Let's kind of pace it up a bit. Enos and Gehrman Park development update. You want to make that quick?
Sure. Just a real quick update. All of the improvements to Enos and Gehrman Park will be done by the end of this week. We are planning a ribbon cutting / community kind of celebration on June 28th. That's going to be from noon to 1. We're partnering with the Art Association and Neighborhood Association to make it kind of more of a community event, and we're going to have a formal ribbon cutting at 12:30 that day. So mark your calendars. We'll send out another update as we get closer, to that. And we're working with the city on reimbursement for TIF funds, which was per previous agreement.
All right, forklift.
And from what I understand, Corporation Council gets sworn in this week, so if that is the delay, the city will have a new corporation council as of next Tuesday.
Great.
Forklift?
Yeah, we'll be asking to purchase a new forklift for the Park District. We have an almost 30-year-old forklift that we've been band-aiding along. It seems it's better days, so we went out and received 3 quotes from 3 local vendors here. It's over $30,000, about $36,000, $37,000. So we need to purchase a new forklift. We use it all the time, and the playground parts, benches, how to semize, all that stuff. So pretty specialized piece. We have it in our operating budget, FY24 general maintenance budget. So be looking to make that purchase and ask for motion to approve that.
Okie dokie. Sounds good to me. You want to keep going? Parks and planning?
Yeah, I'll keep going. couple highlights real quick, not to keep you long. The new grant, the new liners going well, walls up, roof up, electricians on site this week, so we're churning away at that project, trying to knock it out. Talking about lights, LED lights over at Kiwanis, we received two quotes for some LED upgrades at Kiwanis just to light up the game field. One was almost $60,000, one was about $28,000 from a local vendor. We're probably going to go with the local vendor. We're going to do all the labor ourselves. We're just going to purchase the lights from the vendor. The staff will do that install.
Now, we could just replicate that, of course.
We're working on it.
I know. I'm joking.
Last time was a hot topic. We promised to have that done by Juneteenth. We got that done.
Woo!
This week it is Juneteenth, so the splash pad is all done, concrete's done, it's on, benches are installed, it's ready to go.
Good job.
And also, speaking of pickleball, Duncan Park pickleball repairs underway currently right now.
Another good thing.
Yep, will hopefully be done by next week. And that Duncan was around $30,000 for that project.
Rock star. Okay. Chief, another rock star.
Super briefly,
because
I know that we're, you know, a little
closer. What, Chief?
On your monthly report, you know, we very truthfully and very factually report the number of calls for service that we get from the public and from Park District patrons and Park District employees. That's a true and accurate number. Likewise, we also truly and accurately report the number of times that other agencies call us either directly or through the dispatchers to say, hey, please come help us with an incident. For the last month there in May, our park calls for service were considerably higher than our assist calls for service. But I want to touch base just very briefly on the fact that we're at 4,000 total calls for service this year, so 4,000 police incidents for this year, and we're barely halfway through June. Our 15-year average prior to the year 2020 was 3,200 calls for service total for the year. And we've already broken 4,000. I think we'll probably break, I don't know, 8,000, maybe 9,000 this year. Part of that's a little better job of documenting what we do. But part of it is we are very, very busy. To highlight, in the month of May, our total number of calls for service, to include self-initiated activities, exceeded 900. Including one officer who did over 300 privilege checks at various parks in the district during the month. So that kind of adds a little bit of behind-the-scenes flavor to the monthly reports that you get. There is one particular case in there that's outlined of an incident in Bergen Park. I think that even though that got zero media attention at the night of occurrence, I think as that draws forward towards trial and some of the facts that are relevant to that situation, I think it'll get a little bit of the media attention. It's a fairly interesting and not in a good way kind of a case, but I just wanted to plant that bug with you. Jason and I work together closely, not every day, but literally every week, to try and figure out ways to make lighting and facilities and things work better for us, to keep our patrons safer and to drive crime down. Recently, this week, used just an amazing new piece of equipment, this brand new Bobcat with a strengthened brush cutter out in front of it, to really finally make a serious difference back there behind Ace Hardware in the 1700 block of the Wabash Trail to get those.
Oh, good.
I call them robbery tunnels, but those nooks through the woods to get them widened out to where people can actually see where they're going and see if somebody's standing in there. It's a huge thing. I'm glad we finally got that done with that super cool piece of equipment. We've got the trailer camera mounted courtesy of Springfield PD in Culver Cox Park for the duration of the summer up to and through Labor Day weekend.
Nice.
And as of this moment, there's a trailer camera mounted at 7th and Enterprise, but it's going to disappear here in a couple minutes, so it may not even be there by tomorrow morning. But up till now, for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, that's been there to kind of help with some of the school stop issues that we normally have
Lighting is better at Enos now too, right? Didn't we?
Yeah,
so Enos has flipped a little bit. The nighttime crime issues that we saw in there for oh so many years have largely not gone away, disappeared.
That's
right. Cutting back the trees and adding the lights.
The place is bright and safe, and people no longer feel comfortable hiding in there doing a whole plethora of things that they shouldn't have never been doing in the first place. However, all of our juvenile issues tend to occur earlier, and I'm hoping that camera will kind of act as a shoe fly effect, if you will, in that first week after school lets out, when always our juvenile issues just go off the freaking chain. And that's my police report.
Thank you.
Have in your document there.
Now, you're not having issues with the pop-up parties like we did a couple of years ago. I know the news is not, you can't find anything out with it unless you're talking to somebody that's actually doing the job. The SJR is not helpful anymore unless you want to know about fuel yet. But are we still having an issue with the pop-up parties, or has what you've been doing in Comer Cox really taken that down?
So the leads that we are concerned with are our direct constituents and the taxpayers of this organization. That part of the we have been very effective in those details to prevent parties in Comer Cox Park and various other parks.
Yeah.
And as a whole, there are still quite a few of them happening sporadically, many times on streets, as opposed to some of the places in the past where there were basically takeovers of parking lots in the wee hours of the night. Now it's just kind of like street parties that are popping up sporadically. But I will tell you that the main organizer of all of last year's events and the one from the year before, indirectly quoted as saying that it's not worth the hassle, and that the police were just being a little much about the whole party thing. So he's kind of passing the baton to somebody else, and somebody else isn't really readily defined yet. So the guy who was the big organizer, he stepped back a little bit, and that's been tremendously helpful. But there have been numerous large-scale street disturbances that masquerade as parties the last couple weekends. Luckily, none in Cox, none in Isles, none anywhere that we are directly responsible for police.
Great job, Chief. Did you need to sit? Did you have to? Okay. Stephen?
I wanted to first let everyone know, April is our 12th month, so we have officially closed the year, unofficially. It's not final yet, obviously, until the audit is done. The auditors will be here next month, so we'll be going through the audit. So the information I've reported to you is tentative. I don't anticipate any large adjustments. I think the number one item that I need to present to the board is our year-end fund balance transfers. So in the worksheet, I provided an analysis of the fund balance.
No, I know.
So where we are.
Okay.
Tentatively, currently at the end of the year, and then the transfers that we would need to do to support the fund balances that have negative numbers. And I included it in the staff report, the actual transfer itself from fund to fund, showing that we would be taking $1.9 million from the general fund and then distributing it to the recreation fund, the museum fund, the social security fund, and the liability fund. The lion's share being going to the museum fund. For the record, the museum fund supports the zoo and the botanical garden. And while the zoo does have a decent amount of revenue, it also has very high costs. It costs a lot of money to run a zoo. And the botanical doesn't have a great revenue stream because of the nature of the vines is not there. So we'll be bringing that to the board next week for a vote on that transfer to support our fund balance.
Thank you.
If there's any other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Go through any of the details.
Thank you. Angie?
We just have two additional recreation items to share with the board tonight. One being that Comer Cox officially started last night. That was our first Tuesday night.
Good job.
We had roughly about 100 to 125 participants. And quite busy.
I love that. That makes me so happy.
There was a lot of pictures taken. You'll get some of those in your next board report. And then lastly, our June the 20th, the Center Card Kids Camp is full at 150 participants. And that is, again, that's Tuesday, 10:30 to 3:30 at Rotary Park.
Fantastic.
And you get a lot of feedback from people that they're seeing a ton of things about the Park District on Facebook and other social media.
Yeah, good job.
Good job.
Yeah, they're pushing it out.
Who
is the chair? Yeah, do a great job.
Just one item.
Okay.
Just a real quick update on the park grant that we all talked about last cycle. That park grant is due tomorrow. It's all but done, but there's a new question in the grant cycle this year that has not been there in the past that warrants some board discussion or some awareness. That question is, as you all know, we are Springfield is listed as a distressed community,
right,
which takes the funding commitment from the state from a 75% funding commitment up to a 90% funding commitment. And so we talked about a $120,000 commitment from the Park District for a $1.2 million grant. The question that they're posing to us is if they don't award us a 90% funding, would we accept a 75% funding as if we weren't a distressed community? I think the answer to that should be yes.
I agree. I said it's still on sale, right? It's just not 90% off. It's 75% off. And if I'm looking at a shirt that I really want, I'm probably going for it.
That's something you said before. And that's going to serve a huge number of constituents that go through there, probably more than any other facility in the Park District.
Yeah.
More people through that facility than all the rest.
Don't fuel that, though.
Yeah.
It is true.
So if we do get awarded, I just want to make sure the board aware that, you know, our commitment then would be $300,000 rather than the $120,000. So we'll submit it tomorrow and move forward.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Yes.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Okay.